Okay, today is the 24th March, 1987. This is Tarpon Springs, Florida. I'm with Sylvester Jackson. My name is Steve Frangos. I'm from the Bureau of Florida Folklife. And when we were taping everybody else the other day, we missed getting a hold of Mr. Jackson, so I've come by to correct that error. I'll leave it by you.
Okay. And he recorded what I said.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
How old are you, Sylvester?
Me? 78.
78. Where were you born?
I was born in Tallahassee, Florida.
Tallahassee.
Well, I come here, a knee pants boy. I just remember now exactly how old I was then, but I've been here ever since.
Yes, sir.
But my wife is 85. I'll be 85 for next birthday.
Huh.
And this is her father's home where we live.
Huh.
Yeah. And she, well, I kept it up and everything.
Yes, sir.
It was, look out the door and you see that old house over there on that corner?
Yes, sir.
It was like that.
Huh.
It was put in here in this time. And, I've been here all these years.
And you used to work on the sponge boats?
36 years.
36 years, my God. When did you start working on the sponge boats?
Well, I started working back in 1923 and 1924.
Mm-hmm.
The first boat that I worked on when I first started,
yes, sir,
was a Dolphini, Captain Jim.
Captain Jim.
And we worked in deep water then.
Deep water.
From 14 to 15, 16 up to 18 fathom of water. Every 6 meters of fathom. And
that,
you know, I mean,
yes,
like that. And we catch 7 divers.
Hmm.
A diver couldn't stay down for 15 minutes back in that time.
Yes, sir.
And we have 7 divers on there, 2 deck hands. You know, the guys that clean the sponge, which I was one of them back in that time. The guys that clean the sponge, and the engineer, cook, lifeline tender. And you pull a diver down, he couldn't stay but 15 minutes.
Yeah.
In 15 minutes, he catch more sponge. It'd take sometime me and the other deckhand and the cook. And sometimes the engineer would have to run up there because of the knitted sack. Big sack, and
yeah,
before take all of us.
Just to haul up the...
They lift it over, for the sack didn't hold water, then with the sponge.
Yes, sir.
They lift it over the rail.
Were the sacks made out of, was it like a net sack?
That's right. It's like a fish net.
I see.
But not the eyes, what I mean, it was wider than that. Would hold the sponge, but not no
yeah,
water.
That's right.
And we go out there about... You go out there and see about 8 or 9. Back in that time in deep water, you see 8 or 9 or 10 days, you didn't have nowhere to put the sponge.
Uh-huh.
And you got to cure it out, you know what I mean? You sack it away, it got to die. Then after it die and everything, you had to take one by one with what they call butcher knife, the wood sponge. Well, see out there in that deep water, they didn't mess with grass and yard, because they didn't have nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
You didn't catch nothing but wood.
Wool sponges.
That's all. And you have to, you know, after it die, you have to pack it with burlap sack, you know, burlap.
Yes, sir.
You wet it down and lay it on the down on the boat, and then you cover with those wet burlap. And when it died, then you had to take it off. You had it on strings, then you had to take it off and big chin tub. And that's where you put in 10 tubs and pour the water in there, and then you have to sit down there. We had a little bit of wooden box you sit on, benches made like that. You might see some of them around here now, some of the old homes got them.
Mm.
One to sit on, the other to place the sponge on.
Clean off.
And clean them. And you have to just continue to pour water in there, and you keep on, you know, cleaning them like that, and then you put them back in the water, and you squeeze them out, and you chunk them over there. Chunk them back in the back for the engineer. He'd be back there, but he'd string them up on the string. Well, you chunk them in the corner back there where he was. You see, he's standing in a little hole right in a little hole in the morning, just wide enough much for him to stand in. And he had to tell him. And he fishing his diver all the time, you know. And his diver be, you can tell where he at, because the boat would be coming up out the water.
Yeah.
And that would give him a chance to swing him up. He'd be throwing back. Swing him up. Put him, hang him across the board, let him dry out. And I swung with the Hakichi.
With who?
Hakichi.
Hakichi?
That's different nationalities of Greece.
Who was he?
Kalimis. Sinakos. And Hakichi.
Hakichi, yeah, sure, from the different islands.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Different nationalities.
Yes.
I swung with them all. Maybe I go this tuxedo. Tuxedo means this strip. Yeah. I go this tuxedo with one.
Tuxedo.
And maybe next tuxedo I go with a Kalimi, maybe this one.
Yeah.
Maybe next one I might go with a Hakichi. Then the next one I may go with the Semiako.
Yeah.
A tuxedo. This Horton, who gave me the most Barney? That Barney was advanced money.
Yeah.
And back in that time, he gave us up the highest $700 before we even put the foot on the boat to go.
Hmm.
But we all worked on shell.
Yeah.
The hours get from $1,000 to $1,500 before we go. Before we put the foot on the boat. Well, I used to go, there back in them time I was going to St. Zorpa.
You were going what, sir?
St. Zorpa. These are different names of it.
Yes, sir.
A St. Zorpa is the one that pulls the hole and work on the deck. We call that in Greek, Centropa.
Centropos?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And engineer is the man that's fished the dive and take care of the motor and the engine and things.
Yes, sir. What was his name?
Kalouzades. Well, his name was Gasolinades, they call him.
In Greek.
Gasolinades. And Maiera,
yes, sir.
That's the cook.
Maiera.
Kalouzades was the lifeline to me.
Yeah.
And that was Mahanikos.
Mahanikos.
Uh-huh. That was the devil. See, I went out there when they couldn't say water in Greek with them and no other American but me back.
Yeah.
At night, we'd go through lessons. They keep me up sometimes half of the night, learning them how to speak American, different things in American. And I learned from them how to speak Greek.
Yeah.
And I've done that all them years. And I went with, many different captains.
Yeah, name me some captains.
Huh?
Name me some captains that you went out with.
Well, I went with Dino, he was a Hakichi. I went with Simeo. He was Hakichi.
Mm-hmm.
I went with Costa Papelis.
Costa Papelis?
He did now. You know, all them, most of them. All them dead, what I'm calling
them.
All them dead now.
Yes,
I went with Costa Papelis. I went with the one that had the Leo, he had the rocket ball.
He had the rocket ball?
It was double ender. Back in that time, them dive boats, it didn't have the wide end like they got now. They had the sharp in the front and sharp in the back.
Hmm.
Double ender, they called them.
Double ender.
Yeah. Back in them times.
Yes, sir.
And I went with Adieti. I stayed with him back up in the corner.
Up in your
corner. You know what back up in the corner is?
Yes, sir.
15 years.
<That's right. laughs>
All right, I stayed with Charles Amaka, Pendicroni. That was 5 years.
Yes, sir.
And I went with Kachufi. Kachufi's grandson is the mayor of this town now.
Yeah.
He's the mayor.
Yeah. Well, you were telling me that George Belarus, you went out with his grandfather.
I went out with his grandfather on Belarus' boat. Them boys were the boys, they went to school and shit, they were going to school. Them boys never disappoint. None of them boys, they ain't never went out there.
Mm-hmm.
His brother went, and their daddy went, and their father, their grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Their grandfather was the last nine children, and the other brother, which is up there where the old jail used to stay, that's where he lived.
Mm-hmm.
Where he lived, that he got two boys and a girl live there now. Their mama ain't been long died. And these boys, their home, old home, is still over there right now. If where this bone at, I know where this bone everything, know when they was boys.
Yes, sir.
Well, all them was uptown there where the old, right there where police department.
Mm-hmm.
Right across the street from up there. That's where all them was born. The old house sitting there now, ain't nobody in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I forget how many years I stayed with them. See, I went there, came. And that's when the old lady was living, the grandma.
Yes,
sir. She used to give me Barney. She used to turn her back like this in here, and she, with her big skirt on, she had a sack where she wore the money. And she used to go around in that sack and give me $300 and $400, Barney, to go with her. That's why you see them go over me, so, well, I know them all their lives.
Yes, sir. Well, you were up on at the 100th celebration of the city. You were up on the stage with the priests and stuff. I saw that, yes, sir.
All right. I've been used to that all through my life. Every time that we got ready to go out on the water,
yes, sir,
the priest would come down and christ our boat and christ the whole crew that goes out on the water.
Yes, sir.
And that was the old priest way back, Cal Phillip. His name was Cal Phillip. Over here was the Greek school. You know where the Greek school,
yes,
course
sir,
is? You see that house sitting right behind the Greek school in that street there?
Yes, sir.
Right there was his home. Hmm. And I sponged with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I went deep water, I went in shallow water, but I never did go hookboard.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like hookboard.
Oh, you know, something that you had were telling me about before I turned on the tape was I had heard from Jesse the other day,
uh-huh,
that there had been a number of black men who had also been divers.
Yeah.
And could you tell me again, because now we have the machine on, who those men were?
Well, Fred Coy.
Fred Coy.
Uh-huh. And Sonny Boy Bell.
Sonny Boy?
Bell.
Bell?
Bell, 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 B, Bella.
Bella?
Uh-huh. Bell, yeah.
Ballos?
Barrel.
Barrel?
Battle.
Can you spell it for
battle.
Me?
Battle. B-A-T-T-L-E-S.
Oh, Battles.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Sonny Boy Battles.
Uh-huh. And Fred Corn, Sonny Boy Battles. And what Ruby Lee brother's name? Lee? Huh?
Who's brother?
Ruby Lee. Ruby Lee's brother.
Oh, Homer Quarterman.
Homer Quarterman.
Uh-huh.
She was a diver.
He was a diver. And then she was no, that's the sweet what used to be divers.
Yeah.
Them three.
Mm-hmm.
They used to dive.
Who did they used to dive for?
Well, Fred Coy.
Fred Coy.
He dived for Ayiri.
Ayiri.
Now he was like my father. I stayed with him 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
He called me to fix his home and everything. That's why I still got what I got. When I got married to my wife, and I've been married to her 46 years, he furnished me the money and he was to my wedding. And he wouldn't just say my captain, but he was like my own father. Anything that I say I want, he give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go on the boat with him, and he was the diver too, but he was the captain of the boat. He had three boats. And them three boats, he'd have different men on them, different things, but me, he would never let me leave him. And he wouldn't let me hold no position but just what you call sent to wake on the deck. And he got to the place he couldn't dive, and he was the engineer, but he wasn't no engineer, he just fish the diver.
Yeah.
Well, I took care of the engines. I cranked the boat up in the morning. I took care of all the engines. He fished the diver, that's all. And then I could pull my hole and do my weight. So he would keep me with him all the time. He had two more boats. But me...
Yeah, you went just with him.
I had to go with him. And I stayed with him 15 years. Well, he was a captain. Then I left and went with Semios.
Semios, yes.
You see where Pappas Cafe is now?
The big one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see that big stone house over there?
Yes, sir.
Over on this side by that whiskey store?
Yes, sir.
That's his home. That was Samuel's home. And when he had crossed the bridge over there, he had a fish house over there. Where the shrimp dock and thing?
Yes, sir.
He had a fish house over there.
Huh.
Now, I stayed with him for years. And then his first wife died. Well, he had three children. He never had but three children, two boys and one girl. One of the boys. See, the boy was down there was letting up the cold drinks?
Yes, sir.
The little boy?
Yeah.
Well, that was his baby son.
Huh.
He had a fit over me when he see me come down there because I have raised him.
Yeah.
He threw him around my arm. Well, the oldest son, he run the waves down there. Still running the waves. They were to fix the boats.
Yes, sir.
At the far end down there,
mm-hmm.
That's the oldest son. He's still on the way. I went with all of them. And the Pappas.
Pappas.
Yeah, the Pappas with the cafe and thing.
Yeah.
One time I got sick and I quit sponging for a while. And when I quit sponging, I went there working their cafe. And the old cafe down on the end.
Yes, the old one.
Well, back in that time, it wasn't nothing but a big tin building.
Huh.
And them boys, the small boys and the girls. And I used to wash dishes in there for him. And back in that time, you sell them beans, a bowl of beans for 10 cents. 10 cents. And the origination of them, you can see the old house, the first old house that I remember them staying in. It's right across the highway, right over here.
Uh-huh.
I guess a two-story house. Set in that street, went up in there, on this side of the street. That's where they began, and that's where they were living, and that's where the most of them was born. And I worked for them. Oh, I don't know, I worked for the cafe. I got tired of spending them for the shoot. He's like, you come over there, work for me. You don't have to go home. I watched dishes there a long time. And I worked with everyone, everything around here. And one time I went to South America, and that was on the same man that up this year. See that old building over there?
Yes, sir.
That used to be a sponge packing house.
Across the street from us.
Over there. They covered it up. Right there they had an underground where you walk.
Yes.
Go down under the ground and sponge. They didn't cover it up now, but we used to go there when it's stormy weather and you call yourself getting away from the storm. Had steps and things to walk right down there and you secured. But at him about 2 years ago, that company, they filled it in. And that was George Emanuel.
George Emanuel.
One of the big shot beats of this town back in then. And George Alifaz. He just died not long ago, George Alifaz. His daddy was one of the biggest bars here, old man Alifaz. They used to have a packing house up with, right in front of the stove, in front of the Pappas stove, close over there where those curious stove.
Yes, sir.
It used to be a big packing house, a big brick building he had there, packing house. And I sponged with his boys. Well, his two boys, they didn't sponge much because their daddy had plenty. They just had a little boat and run out there. But George, he had a boat of his own. He ain't been long died up here with the Bonnet Bank.
Mm-hmm.
At now,
yes, sir.
He owned that building. And he sold it to them. Well, he owned another building down in Greektown. Right on the other side, that little meat market there, you know where that meat market on this side
next is? To the,
you see that
the
building over there?
Next to the train station, that meat market?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See that building over there?
Yes, sir.
Well, he built that. He had a old wooden building, but everything is done built up and down there. All that wooden stuff is gone, you know. Mm-hmm. And the old expungy change, all that, that's gone. Mm-hmm. But I've been here, the criticals. Old man Critical was the boss of the expungy change. Mm-hmm. That's, he had three sons and a daughter. Well, I seen him with his oldest son still living in the house right on. You see that them two brick houses on top on the avenue?
Yes, sir.
Well, that last house, that's the critical house. Mm-hmm. And that first house is that boy daddy with, oh shit, I got his name. I seen him down and everything, talk with him all the time. Them two houses, I was young when they built them, when they put them two houses there. They was two old friends, no kin. And they come here, and they made a bale of money. And they built two brick houses alike. They right up there now.
How, in the old days, from what you remember, were there more Greeks in town than there were, you know, Americans, or what?
Yeah. Always been more Greeks than there was Americans. More Greeks than black than there was Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't have but a very few Americans here. But back in that time, the Americans held all the big positions like mayor and police departments and things like that. They didn't have many Greeks doing that.
Yeah.
But as it goes on and goes on, me and my people's come to be better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see, I have to say my people's going to Greece, my people.
Yeah. They used to tell me that some of the younger guys told me that in the 50s, the Greek guys and the black guys would fight the crackers. And he said either one they'd go out there and beat them up. No, I don't know. That's what they were telling me.
Well, all that went on in them times. Well, it was two things.
The white people was going to fight the black and the Greeks.
And they'd shake up for the black.
That's what
always
they
did.
The black didn't like the Greek.
That's right. In other words, I went sponging and they have rest us out there on the high seas and carried us to Steeny Hatchet and carried us from there up to what you call them jail to put...
City kids?
No. The Steeny Hatchet, I forget the name of that jail. Perry. Perry Jail. It rest 18 head of us. They caught us out there and they claimed we was in shadow water. And it made us follow them in port to Steeny Hatchet. Tied us up there and carried us somewhere around about 1 o'clock that day when we got into the town. That was in Perry, Florida. And we got there and they made us stand out there until 3 o'clock. All them school children come out of school. And it wasn't but two of us black boys on the boat and the rest was Greeks. And said that we had to stay there and till the children come out to school. And it said to us, when the children see all you goddamn niggas, they call the Greek niggas. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And then after all the children come out, they put us in jail. And they put us in jail, and we stayed there in jail about 7 or 8 days. We had to go come back here and get the lawyers and all that, and they come up there to get us out. They got lawyers who watched us from Tampa. He came.
What was his name again?
Huh?
What was the name of the lawyer from Tampa?
Sawatse.
Sawatse?
Sawatse. Lawyer Sawatse. And Jim Smith was our supply man. Jim Smith from him. And him and him had to come up there and put up bonds up for us. $250 a head.
Gee whiz.
Before they turned us loose. And then when they turned us head cold, it was 12 o'clock in the night.
Yeah.
This is history that I'm telling you.
Yes, sir.
It's
no,
true.
I heard about that they would pick up the boats down in the Keys too, and they would stop the, and they put the guys in jail just long enough so it cost some money and stuff.
Well, that used to be when we go to Key West or somewhere and spawn down in there. They never did catch the diving boat, but they even put those boys that work in jail down there on hook boats. And Key West, they did that.
Well, why was that? I mean, were the Americans going out to sponge too, or I mean, was there a competition? You know what I'm trying to say? I mean,
wasn't no competition. They didn't want you to sponge down there, and plenty of sponge down there, and they wouldn't go get them, and they didn't want nobody else to do it. That's all. No competition. A few cults was down there. Well, you know, some what you call cults, white.
Sure.
And they
what are conks? I mean, conks are just American fishermen, white fishermen.
Yeah, that's what they were. But a name they call them conks.
Yeah.
And wasn't but a few of them. They had little hook boats, and they'd go out there and hook a few.
Yeah.
Well, some of them still catch some down there and bring it through the country on truck.
Yeah.
Up here.
Macbeth Johnson and Chuck Oleski used to catch sponges.
Yeah. And all that and City Key. That used to be our headquarters because when we'd be working off of City Keys or Senior Hatchet or St. Mark, well, we get loaded up, we go in the nearest port, you know.
Yeah.
We get low and go say, or gas or
whatever.
You know, when we go in there and refuel and everything, well, we wouldn't put out a sponge. Of course, in City Keys, we had a place there, Hodges. We could put out a sponge and everything.
Hodges?
Huh?
Hodges?
Yeah, Hodges. That's where that time that they killed them three weeks and burned them up in Cedar Key.
Oh, when they burned the boat?
And burned the, killed them in jail and burned the jail down.
Oh.
You didn't know that?
No, that one didn't know. I know when they were burning the boats.
They burned up three of them there.
Who were the three guys?
Three divers. One of them was Samuel's brother-in-law. There was girls, his children is around here now. He had two daughters and a son. And like you're going down in Greektown, they used to have a cure store on the other side, on Lafton Street there,
mm-hmm.
right across from some market place.
Yeah.
They had, well, that was their father, he went up. And another one, and then another one. I forget the names now.
Yes, sir.
But anyhow, I was on Samuel's boat, and he was diving on Samuel's boat when that happened. And see the key. Oh, I'll tell you this, Lord, I couldn't say all of everything.
That's right. Well, it's just a general thing. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Well, anyhow, I'm putting it on your tape so you don't publish nothing that'll get me in trouble.
No, sir, it's not
because
like
I'm
it. Just for research. No,
I'm just speaking my mind and telling the truth. You understand? And you won't find no other black one in town that went through as much as me.
Yes, sir.
Because they're all dead now, the most of them. But these other boys, they was under me. They didn't go where I went. No, like that, like Parson. Well, Parson, they started late on diving boats, but they used to go on hook boats all the time, like that.
Yeah.
But I went with the big guys. I was considered as the big guy. I did everything on the boat. I learned to do everything with one thing. Well, I could do it, but I didn't like it. I didn't like diving. But I went from St. Dropa, Mayeda, Calusa, Gasoline, I did it all. And see, that made me in the top rank amongst all the other blacks that went, because it wasn't but a few blacks that went out there on the dive boat. But I was one of the main ones. And then what went along with me now and died and everything, they did. But I'm still hanging around. And I can walk down to Greektown now. Everyone see me, they know me. You can hear them hollering the block. Where's Sylvester? Elzebub. Keith Ellisbury, what you want? every customer I come in the coffee. Be inside, go inside the coffee shop, and they see me. I went in there the other day. The coffee shop stuck solid. They see police in me. Where you been? It's the corner of the 11th. Daddy left his knee. Yes, D. I'm all right. I said, if we're in the yellows, we're them bottles.
Your Greek is pretty good, though, no matter what.
Huh?
Your Greek is pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, hello on the fire, Pina. No, that's a little Pina. Well, I had to learn.
Yes.
They learned me. I mean, I learned them, they learned me. And when we would finish trips and everything, man, they give me all the way from $35 to $40 a piece. Money. Next time you lend me four. four letters, you know, four words.
That's right.
I lost the left, I see.